This is the Mission Report podcast, presented by Mission House Coffee Company. I'm your host, Donald Elwell. Join us today as we look into what's happening around the globe in regards to the mission work, and pray for us as we endeavor to shine the light of Jesus Christ in our community and around the globe. Start at the 10-second mark again. 6, 7, 8, 9. Alrighty, guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Mission Report. I'm Donald, as I've said a few times already. But today, we're not going to have Wynn with us. I hope you guys enjoyed those last two episodes and they were encouraging to hear his testimony of salvation as well as testimony of how God's been using him. Today, I just wanted to kind of break away from the normal and talking about specifics when it comes to mission work, and just kind of paint essentially a picture of the vision and the purpose. So that's what we're going to do today, and just kind of share a thought. We'll see how long it goes and all of that, but hopefully it brings an idea and an understanding. So without further ado, let's get into it. So as I'm sure, well, you may or may not notice, but this podcast is actually sponsored and run by a company, not by myself, I own the company, but this is a... Basically, I guess you would say a mini project of a company that I run called Mission House Coffee Company, and it's in the works right now and base ground. But essentially, when praying about what the Lord wanted me to do from a career standpoint, I say a lot. I'm just realizing that. But long story short, I was praying about what God wanted me to do, and he inspired me with an idea. And this is, mind you, years of prayerful consideration. I came out of high school and went into college with the express intent and purpose of majoring in business administration as a fallback plan. And I was going to do all of my pre-med stuff, and my goal and my driving force for going to school was to become a doctor, and not only just a doctor, but a surgeon. And when I look back on my life now, the plan that I had built out for myself, if all things went perfectly, I passed the MCAT just in time, applied to the school that I wanted to go, got in and all of that, I would be in med school currently. But the Lord saw fit in my first semester to say no. And I remember specifically praying, God, I want to be obedient to you and your will. And I want to be open in all aspects of my life. You know, something that I pride myself, that's not necessarily the best way to put it, but something that I endeavor to do is to be somebody who works hard and goes and gets what he wants. And so I was praying. I was like, Lord, this is what I want to do. But you are so much more important to me. And what I want to do more than anything else, above all else, is to serve you and to serve you well. So if you don't want me to go to med school, if you don't want me to do this, close the doors. And within my first semester, God closed every single door and opened every single door for business. And throughout that journey, the Lord led me through different things. Helped me to get different opportunities at the job that I was working to understand business in a practical, applied sense. And that brought me to a point where I was praying, because I was at a point in my life where I didn't want to work the job that I was at anymore. I didn't feel like it was what God wanted me to do long term, obviously. That's why I'm not there. And the Lord... long story short, inspired me with the idea of starting a company whose mission and goal and focus and intent was to support the mission work around the globe, within the national borders and within the communities. The work of the gospel goes beyond what we could even comprehend or think. It goes further and comes closer to what we would think. So when I was praying, I was like, all right, God, what do you want me to do? And he said and inspired me with this idea, start a business to employ people who have a mission mindset, who have an intent and a purpose in wanting to share the gospel message. And coffee just happened to be it, right? So that's where we're at. And so I'm in the works trying to get all that done. Long story short, this is a for-profit business with the express purpose and intent and goal to make profits, to give those profits away within the community, nationally and globally, for the work of God and for the betterment of society, so that individuals can have their needs met, but also hear the gospel. That's long story short. So the goal with this podcast is to shed light on what's going around us globally, nationally, and locally. And as we do groundwork, getting this company going and starting, and we start becoming profitable and we're giving money away, we give reports on where's the money going, who is it impacting, how is it impacting them. And so today I can say that we're currently... we are financially supporting mission work for an individual going over to India. And hopefully, I have to speak with them first to make sure they're okay with this. When they give reports, we'll be able to share those. We'll have to see what they're comfortable, because they're going to a very dangerous part of India and working with a group and a people group who need the gospel tremendously. Everybody needs the gospel, right? So I'm going to give that's just basically broad overarching overview. I want to give you some details on what brought me here. So that really begins with eighth grade. So in eighth grade, going into eighth grade, I was heavily involved in basketball. I played with a team that was full of guys that were a year older than me. So I played a grade up. So I was a seventh grader playing with eighth graders. And all those guys were getting ready to graduate and go to high school. And the team was going to be mine, quote unquote, right? I was going to be the leader. I was going to finally play with some eighth graders as an eighth grader. So all the people who were playing in the grade behind me, I was going to play against them, play with them, all those different things, right? And I had all of these goals and aspirations. I was going to play basketball in high school. I was going to play in college. That's how I was going to get college paid for. I was going to become a doctor, all these different things, right? All the way back in eighth grade. Now, great aspirations, great goals, right? Some people would say, other people might not. And I can confidently say they were not good. They were not based in anything. It was like I was making these goals and I was like, yeah, I'll do this. And then you know what? After I do all these things, it allowed me to be able to bring glory to God. And looking back on that, you're going, oh, dude, what? Right? So that brings me to where we are today, right? You look back and you're like, obviously that's not how things, you do the will of God expressly and for the purpose of glorifying God, and all things come after. So I'm in eighth grade getting ready to do all that. I'm full of this prideful spirit and I'm full of anger and bitterness. I've been bullied, you know, in middle school, all these different things, and I was going to show people and da 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 and all of this. That was my spirit. And God had mercy on me. He brought about an injury that nobody could explain. No freak accident. No real reason as to why this would have happened. It just happened. The day before 4th of July. July 3rd. playing basketball with my cousins. I couldn't. I went to go play, and I was like, guys, I can't play. My hip was just killing me. So I go home. We're swimming in the pool. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm at my cousin's house, and his room is on the second story. I couldn't even walk up the stairs. I was in so much pain. It was excruciating. And that was all of eighth grade for me. We went to chiropractors. We went to orthopedists. We went to my pediatrician. All of these different individuals. Chiropractor said, oh, we can stretch it. Da-da-da-da. If you just have bed rest for this amount of time, you can't go do anything. And for somebody like me, that was absolutely insane. I'm sitting on the couch playing video games or reading a book, and I'm just going insane. I just want to be outside. I want to go play basketball. I want to go do all these things. I'm stuck on the couch in excruciating pain, doubled over because of the way my hip moved, my entire body contorted, just basically because my right hip had my right shoulder leaning down towards my knee, and I just couldn't stand up straight. My hip, it was excruciatingly painful to stand up straight. Chiropractor didn't do anything, so we go to the pediatrician. Pediatrician says, I don't know what's going on, dude. You got to go to an orthopedist. We go to the orthopedist. We do MRIs. We do x-rays, MRIs, x-rays, MRIs, x-rays, all these different tests and all these different things, physical therapies and all this. And he's going, all right, the only thing that I can think of is cutting this, cutting that, and doing all these barbaric things with surgery. And you're going, oh, dude, you, what? Like, my parents are going, no, I don't. We need a second opinion. So we went and got a second opinion. He was like, dude, this guy's insane. What are you talking about? And he happened to understand the issue. It's called idiopathic chondrolysis. So idiopathic is a $5 word for we don't know why. Chondrolysis of the hip basically means the body got rid of your cartilage in that joint. So it could happen to your shoulder, happen to your knees, happen to your hips, happen to your knuckles, you know, whatever it is. Even your ankles, wherever there's cartilage. So my body just dispelled it. And so to compensate, my muscles contract and all this. And so there's just scar tissue. And so my, because the hip is a ball and socket joint. So it's frozen because it hasn't been moving. There's scar tissue. It's a bone on bone. And that's why it's so painful. So long story short, we have a surgery my freshman year of high school. Now, in this entire time, I didn't play basketball my eighth grade year. I'm going into high school and I'm not playing basketball still. And I'm being told you're probably never going to be able to play basketball, not even pickup games. You're going to have to be super careful. You're going to need hip surgeries on a regular basis, all these different things. And, you know, you better be a smart kid because you're not going to be able to do any sort of manual labor. You need to be riding a desk for the rest of your life. Any type of activity, it's over. It's done. So I'm sitting here in a state of, my pride is taking a complete hit. Everything that I elevated in my life, it was just knocked down. Just knocked down. So I'm sitting here stewing. I'm getting angry, angrier and angrier, angrier. I'm already angry as it is. I'm getting bitter, and I'm angry with God. I'm bitter with God. I'm like, why? Why me? Why do I have to go through this? And then mom goes, you need to be doing something. Like, you're sitting around. You need to be. So she puts me in choir. Now, mind you, I think choir is for nerds. And I'm not a nerd, right? You're in middle school, eighth grade. You're high school, right? Your mind's not there, right? Well, I can say to this day, when I didn't do choir just for 1 year. I did it for 4 years. And it was awesome. So finally have a surgery towards the tail end of my freshman year of high school. Now, mind you, I was on online school for this, and that was a nightmare. So it was just thing on top of thing on top of thing on top of thing. So I'm sitting here stewing. And God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, allowed those things to happen. Now you're looking back and you're going, well, why would God, again, this is a question we hear as Christians on a regular basis. Why would God, if he's such a good God, why would he allow bad things to happen to his people? Or even just in general in this world? Well, we know in this world it's because of sin. Now, what about his people? Why does he allow those things? Well, the promise of God is there's a blessing in persecution, right? So when you think about it when you're working for God and you hear about all these people being persecuted, you go, why would God allow that? It's a blessing. Because it allows the gospel to go forward. But in my own life, it tore down things that I had elevated and built my life upon so that I could come to a place of realization, which I did, thank the Lord. that I was angry and I was bitter and I was not in the right place before an almighty God. And in his infinite wisdom and mercy, he checked me and said, that right there, that needs to be fixed. And so I was able to come to a place. And not only did I experience healing in my hip, there's healing in my soul, healing in my mind, and in all these different areas of my life that I didn't realize I needed healing. And that's where my relationship with God began, truly began. And from that point on, I'm not going back. So we come out of freshman year of high school. Surgery's good. Had a summer where I had to be bedridden and all of this. Finally, go into my sophomore year, and I think October of my sophomore year, that's when God, it was at a church meeting, and it's one of those things where you're just like, there's something wrong here. Somebody's like, someone here needs to pray. It's in a church service, and they, you know, they need to get right before God, and I knew that was me, and I was like, okay. So I went and got right with God, and so thankful, and God just pointed at all those different things in my life, how he allowed those things to be torn down in my life so that he could be lifted up, so that he could get the glory that he is worthy. And I hate saying worthy, that he is due. He is due all glory in heaven and earth. All glory is due unto God himself. So, coming into sophomore year, we decided to make a little change. I had an option. Freshman year, academically and in all aspects, was horrible. You know, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but academically, I did not produce the numbers that I should have produced. I was undisciplined. I was lackadaisical. I procrastinated all the time. I didn't take it seriously, and I think I ended with a 2.67 GPA. It's pretty trash. So my parents said, you have two choices. You do not get to do online school. And I had been homeschooled for most of my life. So they said, either you can be homeschooled and you get her done. And if you don't, then you have to take option B. And option B was to go to the school, because my dad is, at the time, a math teacher. You have to go to your dad's school. And I remember finally in a place where I could take things before God. So, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And the Lord revealed to me that if I were to go to the school that my dad taught at, it wouldn't be good for me, especially in the place I was still so weak spiritually. He revealed to me that was not where I needed to be. So I said, all right, I'll be homeschooled and I'm going to stay focused. In the last 3 years of high school, finished with good numbers, good grades. And that's not a brag or anything like that. That's just a matter of fact. But in all of that, in my high school years, this is, you know, where I'm beginning to formulate what do I want to do as a career. Like my sophomore year, I'm like, all right, I have to make a decision now, which is insane. You know, you don't even need to make a decision your senior year. You should have, if you have an idea, great. But I had all this pressure that I'd built on myself. So I'm like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be pediatric cardiovascular surgeon. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go major in business administration, get all my pre-med done. I'm going to go to this school and I'm going to take my MCAT just before. I'm going to get all my pre-med done so that I can take my MCAT in my junior year of college so that when I graduate, because you have to take it 1 year before you apply, then I can apply to OHSU or Johns Hopkins University. Then I can go straight in, don't have to have a gap year, all of these different things. So when you look at the timeline now that I had built for myself, my sophomore, junior, and senior year of high school, at age 23, the timeline that I had for myself and goals and aspirations were this. Let's see, 23... I'd be in med school, in the middle of med school right now, and I was supposed to have been married with one kid, which is insane. It's insane when you think about it. So, but God had different plans. And so the entire time I'm praying, I'm not really getting any real answers. And so I'm like, all right, I'm just going to keep doing what I know to do. I'm going to do school, do well. I'm going to go to college, do whatever. And in the middle of all that, I got to a point in my life where it's like, it's not good enough to just go to church. It's not good enough just to sit idly by. And I was like, Lord, what do you want? You want something for me. What do you want me to do? And the Lord was giving me a different scripture, and I wasn't sure what to do with it. So I'm sitting here going, oh, okay, God, like, what do you want me to do in your kingdom? What role do I play in your kingdom? And I'm praying, I'm seeking. And I ask different ones. And finally, I think it was my junior year of high school, there was an opportunity to go on a missions trip. Now, I'm an adventurous guy. I like to travel. I like to go do things. And so I see that, and I'm like, immediately just felt a burden and a pull and a draw to go. And I was like, no, this is just me wanting to travel. I was like, no. So I just dismissed it. I put it away for a whole year, and it bothered me for an entire year. So I started praying about it midway through, three quarters of the way through. I said, all right, Lord, if you want me to do this, I was like, I feel like I failed you here. If you want me to do this, open up the opportunity again. And lo and behold, the opportunity opened up. And I got to go, which was awesome. And so the entire time, I was like, all right, Lord, I need to fundraise this money. I have no conceivable way of being able to pay for this. So you're going to have to provide, God, right? And give me confirmation. Give me scripture. So he's giving me scripture. And it was lining up with the burden that the Lord had placed on my heart. And I was like, okay. So I went in faith. I remember there was one time in particular. I had a little GoFundMe page, all these different things. And I was like, nobody's going to donate to this. This is stupid. I don't have to return all this money. I don't have enough money. I'm not going to meet the benchmark I needed to meet to be able to go. And I remember we were gone for the summer. And we left for this trip in September. So I think this was July. We're coming back home from our trip. I didn't have cell service. Finally reached a point where I had cell service. Not sitting there in the passenger seat, my dad's driving, the rest of my family's in the back taking a nap. And I remember explicitly saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to be able to go. I believe and know that you want me to go. I just don't see how. I don't see a way. And I remember God so softly just speaking to my heart and saying, pull out your phone. You have service. Check your GoFundMe page. I have provided. And I was like, what? So I pulled out my phone and I checked it, and lo and behold, I had exactly the amount that I needed to be able to go. Talk about a faith booster. Talk about confirmation. You know, he's given me scripture. He's given me confirmation after confirmation. That was the final one. And then it was the Sunday before I left, and I will never forget this. Someone in my church came up. What we do in our church, when we send somebody out, we anoint them and pray for them. Everybody in the congregation, as we send them out. So they were, my congregation was praying over me, and I was giving hugs, saying goodbye, because I wasn't going to see anybody for however long I was gone for. I think it was a week and a half. It wasn't that long. And I remember giving someone a hug, and they said, take this. The Lord told me to give this to you. And it was a little extra money. I didn't need the extra money. It was nice to have it. It helped out a lot while I was down there. But I didn't. God just met my need above and beyond what I expected. And so we went down, had a great time. It was awesome. And, you know, I have one of my biggest, I hate using the word regrets, but I look back, and it's like, I look back on that, and I'm like, I kicked myself in the rear. Felt the Lord had given me a thought and a message to share, and there was an opportunity given for us to be able to share that, and I was so scared I didn't do it. I look back and I just, even now it irks me. There's not very many. I don't usually live my life in regret. I look back and I'm like, all right, that was a learning experience. And that was a learning experience. Trust in God. He gives you something, share it. And, you know, going to college, and I remember, I'll actually share it with you. I was reading it. I have a little, I think a business card from my second, what year was that? Might have been my second year of college. From one of the classes I was in. No. It's here. Acts 18. I remember God. this is one of the ways he was dealing with me. You know, I did share that little thought with the group that we were with. That was it. Yeah. So I have a business card to Fred Myers for the development manager. The Lord had given me scripture in Acts 18, 9, and 10. And it says, "And spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And this was at the time when Paul was ministering to the Gentiles. As you know, that was his burden, that was his, but he was in Corinth specifically. And I wrote on the back, this is in 2018, I've got to put the date. Yeah. March 25th, 2018. So that had to have been, yeah, it was my second year of college. Fourth semester. and it says, I wrote here, "If God has given you a message, fear not and speak. For God is with you, and God has people wherever you go. So go when burdened and called with the boldness of Christ and the gospel." And that was a comfort and a challenge at the time to speak the word of God when burdened and called. And to be silent when not. And the Lord is... Now, I'm not somebody who holds his tongue while I say what comes to my mind, and that's, yeah, it's gotten me in some hot water. And the Lord has been teaching me the past couple of years to bite my tongue and speak when he tells me to speak, and keep my mouth shut when he tells me to keep my mouth shut. So when I look back on that time, I see the Lord teaching me, right? So, yada, yada, blah, 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 blah. That leads us to where we're at today. The Lord, long story short, that was to tell you that the Lord had given me and has given me a heart for mission work and for this, for the gospel to go forward. And full transparency, I went on a missions trip in 2016. It was 2016, September of 2016. I haven't been on one since. And I've prayed over and over, and I still believe that the Lord has given me a burden for specific places. It just hasn't been the time. The Lord said, "No, I want you here." Well, no, I want you here. Time and time and time and time again. That's frustrating. As somebody who likes to go, you know, I like to do. So, that long story short, brought me to a place where I was praying a few years ago. God, okay, you clearly have me here for a purpose and for a reason. I don't understand it right now, and I know you will reveal that to me. What is it? I just sit there and listen. No answer. What is it? Sit there and over and over and over and over until the Lord finally answered, and he said, "There's things here I want you to take care of. There's things here I want you to learn." And gave me this idea of a business. So here we are, on the ground level, trying to get it to work out. It's been some time now. I was supposed to start a food truck at the beginning of 2020. Yeah, 2020. I was gonna quit my job. I had an investor lined up and all of that, and all those things fell through, and I didn't understand it. And then COVID hit. And I was like, okay, Lord, I see now. I'd be bankrupt right now. Absolutely bankrupt. So that was the mercy of God. And we're still sitting here going, all right, God, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? The Lord's going to make a way. But here we are. So I've had a burden for mission work and for missions. And the burden of this, I'll share the mission of Mission House Coffee Company as broadly without getting into the weeds and details of every single little specific, right? There's a three-pronged mission. Globally, nationally, and locally. So, we want to inspire other believers to go forth wherever they're called, help them, support them financially, prayerfully, and in any aspect, in any way that we possibly can, as we're led by God, so that when they're called and placed in a place, in an area that God wants them to be, that they have the support, no matter how big or how small that support might be, from others. So our goal is, as locally, we're a business. How do we impact the community around us? Well, we can give to organizations that are meeting the needs that we see within our communities. You know, I live in Portland. There's a tremendous amount of homelessness, right? So we find a way to impact that issue and find a way to be able to present the gospel. Well, what about the day-to-day? Well, as a business, the way that we conduct business, the way that we interact with our customers is a great way and a great place to shine the light of Jesus Christ. That's just locally. Nationally, same exact thing. There's different works in different areas. Let's support them prayerfully. Let's support them financially. And let's bring awareness to those places and to those things and to those organizations so that others can know, you know what? There are plenty of other people doing work. And the same with the globe and the global work. And then the other way is, you know, in talking with Brother Wynn, for example, he was one of the sources of inspiration. I remember one time we were having conversation, and I've experienced this myself. Coming, you go in faith, right? That's sometimes the hardest part. But one of the biggest fear factors is, what about when I come back? It's not necessarily, what am I going to experience when I go there? There's a lot of fear there sometimes, depending on the area, depending on what you're called to do. But what about when I come back? If I'm gone for 3 or 4 months, where am I going to work? My job's not going to be here for me. That Intermission House Coffee Company, we want to support and employ people who have aspirations and callings of God to share the gospel. We're all called to share the gospel in some way, in shape, form, and capacity. We want to support our employees in that and encourage. So when they're called globally, let's go. We're going to be behind you financially and prayerfully, supporting your work and your mission. And when you come back, your job will be there for you. That's one of the things. That's as broad as I'm going to get. Not as broad as I'm going to get. That's as focused as I'm going to get, rather. So that's the goal with the company. Now, with this podcast, is to talk about, okay, what's going on? So I said that we're supporting currently. You know, the company isn't profitable, but we found a way to be able to support a missionary currently who's endeavoring to go to India. I think I mentioned that. I may or may not have. I don't know. This is my second recording of this episode, so it might have been in the previous episode, but we're supporting an individual. And as they go over there, hopefully we'll be able to get reports and to be able to share that. And you know, we're giving money to, say, Portland Rescue Mission is somebody who worked in the homeless community. Let's talk about what they're doing. Maybe our employees go there. Let's talk about what we did. That's the goal of this. And to talk with other missionaries and all these different things to encourage, inspire, and challenge every single one who hears. Ask God. Seek God. Where am I to be in your kingdom? What am I to do? And be encouraged that he'll equip you for that. And know that we're here to support you prayerfully and financially. So with that being said, a small little thought I want to share. We're doing a Bible study at church currently. A Bible study I feel like the Lord wanted me to get into is the Sermon on the Mount. And we went through the Beatitudes. So we're in chapter 5. And there's 3 verses here. 4 verses here. 13, 14, 15 and 16 that are important. These were verses of confirmation for me. I even have a little note here from Spanish in college. The Lord had given me these verses as confirmation to what he wanted me to do. And this is for everyone. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the thought I wanted to share with you is first and foremost this. You are the salt of the earth. That means you have a responsibility, because Christ said if you have lost your flavor, you're good for nothing. Now it sounds harsh. It is harsh. Christ isn't just all lovey-dovey. He's got expectations for us. So when it comes to, you know, your joint heirs with Jesus Christ to the kingdom of God, to all its glory, to all its power, to all of its blessings and riches, you are a joint heir in Christ by salvation. You're also servants to the will of God. We have a purpose and a place in this world. We're the salt of the earth. Now, understanding the historical context here, salt has value. We're valuable to God. Granted, God can do, he can spread the gospel without us, but we are also of value. There's a reason why he created us. All of his creation has value, but there's a tremendous difference between man and a dog, between man and animal, between man and plants, between man and all of the other creations of God. All the other creations of God, every single creation of God, has the express purpose of worshiping God. The only difference is man has a decision, has a choice, has the ability to choose to worship God or not to worship God. Those are the two decisions. To not worship God is sin. To worship God is righteousness. And so all the way back into the Garden of Eden, what did man choose? Man chose himself rather than God. That was the first sin, selfishness, pride. Right? And thus enters in sin. That makes a difference. God wanted, and what's the, so we ask ourselves, why? Why? What's the purpose of that? God wanted a relationship with us. From the very beginning, you see, he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. He wanted a relationship. And he had one expectation of them. He gave them all that his kingdom could possibly offer in the Garden of Eden. You can have all of these fruits, all of these animals, all of these things can live peaceably together. You can't have this. He made a decision. He allowed there to be a choice. I want you to choose me. Every single day of your life, I want you to choose me. All the way from the very beginning of time to today. That's the difference. So we have value because God wants a relationship with us. We know that because of John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And you continue on. Let's just read a few more of those verses. 17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that it believes not is condemned already, because he is not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hateth the light. Long story short, right? We can continue on, but we'll stop there. We know that the passion and the purpose of Jesus Christ and the purpose of man was to have a relationship with him. God did not want us to be condemned, but in our own decision, we condemned ourselves to. And he had mercy and grace in Jesus Christ to be that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, the recompense for our sins across the board for all of us who believe on him. We can enter in back into that relationship with him. And when we do so, we have a tremendous value to him. He wants this for all men. So that begs the question, what does it mean to be the salt of the earth? I want you to ask yourself that. What are the properties of salt? Think about that.
We'll come back to that. So if we continue on, we understand we have value to God. You know, historically, salt was, I just want to make this point before we move on. Salt was, so there was this saying. I can't remember if it was a Greek or Roman saying, but he's worth his salt. We've heard that saying. There was basis for that in ancient times, because an individual would say that this man is worth his salt. It means his work, his labor was so valuable, he is worth his weight in salt. Salt was valuable. I can't remember what the exchange rate was, but it was a good amount of money for salt. It was almost 1-to-1 ratio, almost. I don't know, a little off, but it was salt was valuable. And the reason is it had a lot of properties. So again, ask yourself that question. What is the purpose of salt? What is the purpose of salt? We're gonna. All right, we're back. We got noise makers above us. So what was the purpose of salt, right? That's the question I want you to ask yourselves. As we continue on, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill." So this 14th verse says, "You are the light of the world." That's a statement. Christ is saying that to his disciples, you, to the followers of Christ, you are a city that is set on the hill. No, you are the light of the world. I'm sorry. You are the light of the world. Well, we know that men love darkness because of their evil deeds. So we know that there's darkness in this world. So ask yourself, what does it mean to be the light of the world? And then he made another statement. This, you know, this isn't a question. He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So this is what he is saying to his disciples. He's saying, you are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. You cannot be hid. You will be seen. Your light shines forth in the dark world because of me. Right? It even says it, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. How are we able to do good works? By Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ can we do good works. Right? Noisemaker again. Jumping around all over the place. Anyways. The commandment was, don't hide your light. Let it shine forth. So when we put that in the aspect, in the context of the gospel, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus Christ in us shines forth. And we are not to hide the light of Jesus Christ in our lives. We are to allow that to shine forth for the benefit of others, that they may come to know through our good works, led of Jesus Christ, led of God, may come to know God the Father and may glorify Him. That's the purpose of gospel work. It's to realize this is the solution to all things that plague men. In Jesus Christ, sin is abolished. Chains are broken. Men are set free in Jesus Christ. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Think about it. A city set on a hill. What does that mean? You know, I have to think about all the times I was on road trips. And you're coming in at nighttime. And you're just driven through we used to go down to Arizona a lot. So we drive to California. You drive through the desert. And all of a sudden, you know, you have to pee, you're thirsty, you're hungry, all these different things. All of a sudden, you see the city lights in this dark plateau of nothing. You see the city lights up there, up ahead. There's so much hope and expectation in that there's going to be something good there. That's us in this dark, dark world. A city set on a hill, it cannot be hid. We are known by the light of Jesus Christ, and in the place that we're set up on, that when people look at us, they can have hope of something better. And it is our responsibility as the salt of the earth to present that as preservation to their souls. You see, salt preserves. Salt
has healing aspects. Salt flavors. It highlights the flavors around us. In food, it highlights the flavors of, in food, not around us. I feel like I'm forgetting one other one. Attribute. That's always on my mind. I think it was a value. We already got that attribute, I believe. Let me see. I like to write my notes down sometimes. Let's see. Creates thirst. That was the other one. So when they see us, when they see our good works, you know, I want to talk about this creating thirst. When you taste salt, and you have so much salt, you start getting a little, your mouth gets dry, right? You're saying, I need some water or something, right? When people see our good works, when they see that we love them unconditionally in the way that God loves us, by God, right? These are all, mind you, this is all in Jesus Christ. This is by the power of God. When we extend grace, when we extend mercy, when we have peace in circumstances that we should not have peace in, when we have all these different things because of the kingdom of God, we're joint heirs to all that. When the people see that in us, they go, I want that. That's what it means to be a city on a hill, to be salt of the earth. You're creating a thirst and giving someone hope that there's something better than what I've got, right? So when someone's thirsty, I like to use this analogy. If you're sitting here eating a bunch of saltine crackers and somebody's just giving you saltine crackers are pretty good, but after a while you're getting your mouth just pretty dry. You're going, Think about us being the ones giving saltine crackers to the world in the way that we conduct our lives, in the way that we keep our firm foundation on Jesus Christ, when we present the gospel, when we love somebody who shouldn't be loved, when we extend grace where grace shouldn't be extended, when we have mercy where mercy shouldn't be had, when we have peace in circumstances that people can't understand, when we have joy in spite of sorrow, when we have all these different awesome, beautiful blessings, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, by God and in the Spirit, right? It's like giving a saltine cracker to somebody. It's like, I like being around this person. And some people love evil. They'll persecute you because there's a righteous jealousy in their hearts. I want that. They know they can't have it. Their heart is so turned away from God that they persecute the one who has that. That's where persecution comes from. But also, there's individuals, you know, they're kind of sitting in the darkness and they see the light. They go, there's hope here. You know, they might have something here. Maybe I'm gonna go into the city and ask about, hey, you got lights. I'm living out here in the darkness. What's up? How do I get that? Or, you know, you're sitting here eating saltine crackers. Hey, man, I'm thirsty. I notice you're not thirsty. What's up? What did Christ say to the woman at the well? He said, if you drink this water, you're going to get thirsty. But if you drink the water that I have for you, you'll never thirst. That's the promise of Jesus Christ. This is gospel work. Sometimes it comes by the preached word, living out the word, all of these different things, different ways God uses us. That allows us, when we're faithful to those things, to be the salt of the earth, to be the light in this world, a city that is set on a hill, not being hid. That when we obey the call of God in our lives, that's us giving saltine crackers and creating thirst and giving hope out to different individuals that there's something better than what I'm living with today. And when we give saltine crackers over and over and over and over and over by our good works, by Jesus Christ, to individuals, eventually it'll bring up the question, how are you not thirsty? How are you able to be so happy? How are you able to be so, have so much peace and confidence? How are you able to why do you love me? I've been nothing but disgusting towards you. Entering the water. Jesus. This is gospel work. So I wanted to share this thought to encourage and to challenge everybody that you're the salt of the earth. We have, and we didn't talk about the attribute of preservation. We'll touch on it here in just a second. But you have the attributes of salt. That's the call. You're the salt of the earth. Don't lose your flavor. Don't lose your abilities. Don't lose your purpose. You have the light of Jesus Christ. You're the light of this world. Shining Jesus Christ, and God has set us in a place on a hill, as a city, as a congregation, as a church across the board, to be a light of hope into this darkness of the world, so that men, by our good works, may come to know the Father and Jesus Christ, can come experience the living water, the living bread, the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, and may come to know their, come know the Father. That's what it means to be the salt of the earth. So said we talk about the preservation. How do we, preservation? If we're, that's an attribute of salt. How do we preserve the world? The Word of God. You see, sin brings death and decay. And if we're a preservative, we say, this is rotting. This is rotting. We can preserve this. Not us ourselves, but we know who does the preservation. That's Jesus Christ. And we get to be a part of that by presenting Jesus Christ. Highlights flavors. Make attractive the way. Think about it. Peace, joy, love. All these different fruits of the Spirit. Joy. Peace. Meekness. Grace. Mercy. All these different things. In Jesus Christ, as we're the salt of the earth and we do this as we're led, it highlights those flavors. This is something the world cannot have without Christ. So I want us to understand that this is a commandment and a call to each one of the believers. That in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, as we're called and led and equipped by the Spirit, we can be the salt of the earth, the light of this world, and we are, as believers of Christ, collectively as a church, a city that is set on a hill, put in a place that it cannot be hid. It doesn't matter how much the world persecutes the church, wherever it is, whether it's in China, Afghanistan, United States of America, Nicaragua, France, anywhere, the church of God, the true church of God, all of us unified under the cross by salvation of Jesus Christ. Together, we are a city that cannot be hid, that's on a hill, put in a place above everything else, because God has put us there. And in that place, we have a great responsibility and a value to God in our relationship with Him, but also as we follow Him and allow His will to work within us, that we come to a place where we're faithful to the calls that He places on our lives, so that we can give saltine crackers to individuals to make them thirsty for the living water of Jesus Christ. And when that thirst comes, we're ready, or someone's ready to say, you're thirsty? Hey, I got something for you. We can satisfy, we can quench that thirst. How can I do that? Jesus, you're tired of sin? Jesus, feel like you're bound? Jesus. Want freedom? Jesus. Want victory? Jesus. You want peace? Jesus. It's, the answer is always Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. That's mission work. So when God's moving you and working your life and saying, go do this, understand He'll equip you. And He wants you to do that, to be faithful to that. You have the light of Jesus Christ. You're a joint heir to the full power and the glory of the kingdom of God. You think you don't have the ability? You don't, in your own strength. But guess what? You're a joint heir with Jesus to the full, vast riches of the kingdom of God. You need power. You need victory. You need mercy. You need grace. You need love. You need joy. You got it in God and in Jesus Christ. So go forth with the boldness of Christ. Be faithful to the call He has placed on your life. There is a tremendous responsibility and need for people of God to be the salt of this earth and to shine forth the light of Jesus Christ, to assist in the furtherance of the gospel, so that others can come to know the blessings of entering into that beautiful gift of salvation. We all play a role
no matter how seemingly small it may be, it is an important and big role. Whether that's giving money, whether that's prayerfully supporting, whether that's extending an encouraging word, whether that's preaching the gospel on the front line, or being a martyr for the sake of the gospel, being a pastor, all of these different things are just as important as the latter. For the sake of the purpose of the Church of God, so that the gospel can go forward. I think we're going to end that here. I hope you're challenged. I hope God's speaking to you in your life saying, son or daughter, I want you to go do this. And this is me telling you, go. You're the salt of the earth. God will equip you. You have value to his kingdom. Go do it. Go forth. Be faithful to the call of God in your life. My prayers are with you. Be bold in the gospel. Be bold in Jesus Christ. And be blessed of Jesus Christ and go forth. Just say a quick prayer in closing. God, we thank you for the blessings of Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for all that you bring to us. We thank you, Lord, that as you call us, you equip us by the Spirit. And so we're just asking today that as you're calling and moving and leading and guiding your people, dear God, that you'd be faithful to meet the needs, to equip them for that call. Lord, I ask that you'd cast out fear in the name of Jesus Christ, and that you would fill individuals with the boldness and the confidence of the gospel and of Jesus Christ. We pray all of this in the almighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the Mission Report podcast. Again, it's been presented by Mission House Coffee Company and your host, Donald Ello. We appreciate each one as you come and listen to us give reports on the wonderful work that Jesus Christ is doing around the globe in regards to his gospel. Just that you would continue to keep us in your prayers as we endeavor to shed light on the work that Christ has for us, and that those who are around the globe would just be strengthened by the strength of God as they do as they've been called to do. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you again on the next episode. The intro music, Joy, is by Cymbal Bird, as well as the outro music, Battle, by Cymbal Bird. This music can be found on freemusicarchive.org.